Hey, all you Petra heads out there, thanks once again for pressing play on Rock. I'm Lindsay Hall.
And I'm Dave Hall.
And you're listening to The Petrospective, the premier podcast about the greatest Christian rock band of all time, Petra. We may be the only podcast about the greatest Christian band of all time, Petra, but
besides if you ranked every podcast that talks about Petra's albums and the songs and the music and all that, if you ranked every single podcast that does it, we'd be at the top. Guarantee we're number one.
Absolutely. And you couldn't have picked a greater episode to join us on if you are joining us for the first time, guys. And I know that there's going to be so many of you out there who's like, this is the one. This is the one that is definitive Petra that I want to hear these guys talk about for an hour and a half. Today we are talking about God Fixation. It's the great, I don't know, is this the great overlooked Petra album, David?
I do think it can get a bad rap at times. I know there are, look, I think it's a really weird one. There's a lot of people out there, a lot of people who've been posting on our Facebook page and commenting and letting us know what they think. There's a lot of people out there that do really like this album, and then there's a lot of fans out there that struggle with this album, and so I think this is going to be an interesting review, because I certainly remember when this album came out, this got a lot of playtime in my CD player for a while. This I had a soft spot for a while, and I've enjoyed listening to it over the in preparation for this podcast. I've really enjoyed listening to it again. It's there's a lot of positives in this album that we'll be able to talk about, but there are some things that are maybe not so positive, and I guess it depends on how you feel, what weighs up one on the other. That's where it sits. I think I don't think it's underrated. I think it's maybe polarizing. You either fall on the I really like it or I really don't.
It does seem to be that way. This album has been it's actually the beginning of my Petra blind spot. Like this album and Revival are the two that I'm very I didn't listen to a great deal, although it's interesting listening to it around to refresh myself for this episode. I was surprised by how many songs actually seemed familiar. And I think in my head, I had rolled them into other albums. And for the most part, those other albums I thought were John Schlitt's solo albums, his solo projects from this era. And I thought, wasn't that from Shake? No, that's okay. That's weird.
Well, it's very interesting that you make reference to John Schlitt's solo albums, because I think there's a lot of the foundations for how this album comes together have their basis in John Schlitt's two solo albums that came out around this time. His first two solo albums form a lot of the basis, because, and we're not really getting into those albums right now, but John Schlitt's solo work led to obviously touring, and then with the changes that we're about to talk about that happened to Petra in this time period, especially for this album, the new members were directly sourced from John Schlitt's solo album touring band. We'll talk a lot about the influence they have on this album, and that I think you can tie a lot of this back to John Schlitt's solo work. It really, this album is very different to anything we've heard from Petra for a long time. It is a very different album, and a lot of that has to do with the personnel changes that came about.
Yeah, I mean this era, this last couple of albums, and but then particularly this one, Petra has had a revolving door at this point. It's kind of nuts. So leading into the, you know, recording God Fixation, coming out of the second Petra Praise album, Ronnie Cates says his goodbyes.
Ronnie had left after No Doubt, because remember Lonnie Chapin had already was recording.
Sorry, Petra Praise, that's right. That's right.
And as we highlighted, the big change was obviously Bob Hartman had. We spoke about Bob Hartman stepping down, but this is the album that he doesn't play guitar on.
That's right.
This is the first album that he doesn't play on, and that to me is probably the most noticeable thing through the album. Is you can tell it's not Bob Hartman playing.
Yeah.
It's not his style of guitaring. It's not the sound of guitars that he produces, and we'll talk about this a bit more when we look at the songs. The style of musicianship in each song is very different to what we've heard from the very beginning of this journey. Bob Hartman's style of playing is very obvious when you hear him, and it's very clear that it's not a part of this album. So that's probably the biggest change of all. And then, you know, we've highlighted the fact, you know, David Litchens came in, left. You know, we've had changes of keyboard players again and all that. So yeah, there's been a multitude of changes, and this is probably where it's most noticeable. So, you know, we had Lonnie Chapin already as bass player last time. He continues on, but we've got two guitarists joining the band.
Both of who had been touring with Johnny.
That's right. So our first one, the man who probably was viewed as the lead guitarist is Pete Auter. And the other new member is a guitarist who also plays keyboards and various other instruments. He's a very, very talented musician, actually. A guy by the name of Kevin Brando. Yeah, they've both joined, as we said, from John Schlitt's touring band. They become part of Petra. And if you haven't already, go back and listen to our interview with Bob Hartman that we did before Christmas last year, because Bob talks a fair bit about the role the guys played in this album, and that Pete Auter, Lonnie Chapin, Kevin Brando actually had a lot to do with writing a lot of the music for the songs in this album and bringing their style and their heart to this album, which essentially meant that the only thing Bob had to do was write lyrics.
Which he seemed quite happy about, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And on that, there's some very good lyric stuff on this album. There's some really, really good, probably some of the best stuff he's, you know, sort of over a whole album. When you just look at the lyrics, there's some really good stuff in there.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there. This is one where I think the craft of the lyrics sort of is quite variable across this album. And what sticks out to me often are lines or phrases that sometimes I don't know if they land so well, but we will get to that as we get to that. One of the quotes that I wanted to dig into just before we get into talking about the album and the songs, is something that I found here that apparently John Schlitt offered it in an interview when asked about the changes that were represented in this album. And he says, Petra wasn't selling worth a stink. Petra was going down the drain because of internal problems, and I don't want to go down the drain yet. Personally, if it means kids are interested in a new style, I believe we can do it. If it means getting three new members to do it, I guess it has to be done. And it's interesting when I first came across that, you know, a year ago, 18 months ago, I kind of read it with a very cynical lens, which I found a bit disappointing to grapple with, because on a surface reading, you look at that and you got, it feels like someone just saying, hey, what matters is that we're getting sold and we're selling albums and our numbers and our figures have to go up and we got to market ourselves in whatever way we have to do in order to get those figures up. A cynical person might put it that way. And, you know, where that, you know, where I certainly have a struggle with that is the idea, you know, you have these ideas about bands that you love being these close-knit like families that are all about the music and just the passion for this craft and this artistic expression. And then to get this really commercial sounding language in there, it feels like a real downer, like almost casts a pall over the work of the band during this era. However, all that changed upon listening to your interview with John last year. And it's the first, like, you know, it's probably the biggest interview with him I've ever actually gotten to get in on there. But what was coming across in that interview, and it really blew my mind, and it reframed this whole thing, is just how passionate that man is for the gospel.
Mm.
Just how sold out he is for proclaiming Jesus and making him known. And when you view this statement of his through that lens, it's this thing of, we're not selling worth a stink and we're going down the drain. He's saying we're not getting a chance to share the gospel anymore.
Yeah.
And that's not acceptable. And I'm like, that's quite amazing. And being willing, and, you know, obviously in that regard, you know, from what we've, you know, when you've talked to Bob and what we know of Bob through his writing over the years, you know, it's the same priority for him too. What matters is that people are hearing the gospel. So if we got to make changes for that to happen, and that's something that I actually, yeah, I find really uplifting. And it does have a positive effect on how I feel about this album. However objectively I might think about some of the musical direction they took, philosophically I am aligned with the band's goals for this album.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's interesting because if you take a moment to think what's prompting that, this approach, this we need to change, we need to do something, you need to then, if you want to dig under that, And I've got a thought on this. So clearly what they're saying is Petra was struggling to, I would assume, sell tickets, get people to come and hear concerts, because that's got to be the big, that's obviously getting the message out there. And that's probably where the foundation of it is. And I was thinking to myself, well, why would that be? Because they are so big. They've been around for so long. And herein, I think, lies some of the difficulties that the band, that Petra had with Bob's decision to stop touring. Because Bob was still playing, we've discussed it in depth for the last two albums, Bob was still playing on the recordings. So everyone's hearing Bob on these recordings, but when you go and see them live, you're not getting that sound. You're getting different musicians. Now, One of the great things we have available to us as Petra fans is that there is a lot of live footage of the band from this time period, from the God Fixation and this time period. There are a lot of bootleg concerts on YouTube that you can watch, that you can listen to. There's more live concert footage of this incarnation of Petra than of any other incarnation of Petra, which is, you know, there's positives and negatives. That's good that this is a time period that we can get a lot of that stuff. Sadly, we don't have a lot of stuff that we'd like to hear. But one of the things that that stands out to me when you see the footage and hear the live performances, and I guess this will come out in reflections of Pete Auder and Kevin Brando and stuff like that, as Pete Auder is very clearly a very, very talented guitarist, very talented. He's also very technically gifted, can do a lot of really good stuff with the guitar. But he also seems very free-spirited when he plays. And one of the things I notice is the classic Petra songs, the songs that everyone wants to hear sung and performed when they perform live, didn't sound the same as they had for years and years and years. Whatever it is, and often didn't sound the same from concert to concert, at least the recordings I've got, or I've seen and watched. And I'm wondering if that might be part of the issue, is that people were struggling with the fact that this is the singer, this is the band name, and they're doing the songs that I love, but they're not doing them the same. And so perhaps that was having a bit of an impact of, well, I'd rather listen to the CDs and the albums that I've got, because that's what I want to hear, as opposed to going to see them live, because I'm not going to hear the sound. It's a theory. I don't know. Unfortunately, Petra weren't touring Australia at the time. We didn't get a chance. I would have gone if they come out. I would have gone.
I'm sorry, you would have gone, but you would have seen like, you know, Bob Hartman play in a, you know, shopping centre car park with a ukulele. You know,
like I go and hear John sing in the bathroom. So
yeah. And that says all kinds of things about you, Dave. I don't know. That's
but it's a thought. I just wonder if that might be why they've been struggling before. And so part of the changes here are the concept of, we need to put something together that's unique to this group of musicians that hopefully will bring people in and we'll get people going, I want to come and see that live. I want to hear that live. And when they hear it, they're going to be like, that's what I was coming to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I really think that there's something to that.
And I think this conversation will get picked up more in our next episode, I think. So it lays a foundation, but yeah. I just wanted, getting into what John said there, I just wonder if that's part of it.
Yeah. Well, before we deep dive into these songs, David, the all important question: how does this cover rank for you in the pantheon of Petra album covers?
It's actually not bad. I mean, it really highlights we've come back to essentially the band photo, almost like on a tour bus or on a train, but we've got the band photo. But I guess when you've got a new group of people, a new group of guys playing together, having a band photo is not such a bad idea, because there's new faces and it's nice to be able to put, you know, that's who the guys are. That's who these new people are. That's who these new faces. I do struggle with both John Schlitt and Louis Weaver's hair.
That hair, man, it's very pretty. It's very pretty.
Look, it's not, in my opinion, look, it's not the worst album cover. I think it's it's got that feeling of, this is a new group of guys, this is a new band or a new incarnation of Petra, and so we're going to bring you a new look, there's going to be a new sound. I do think it achieves that purpose.
I find it really, really hard to rate this cover, and I've realized now that, you know, for a long time I've not held this album in high regard. But I realized that a lot of it is just my reaction to this album cover. which I have come to refer to as the Goo Goo Dolls album cover, because it's just what they look like. They look like they're the Goo Goo Dolls, but this is the era of the Goo Goo Dolls and of that level of radio friendly pop rock, that Petra is sort of leaning into for this album.
I was going to say, I think you've just very well described what this album is trying to achieve.
It makes perfect marketing sense. It's a well put together photo. From a purely objective point of view, like, this is a better band shot than the No Doubt album cover. Mm. My personal aesthetic preference is for something like the No Doubt cover, but this is actually a very effective sort of band photo album.
How does it compare to, say, Unseen Power, which had those individual portraits along the line?
I'd probably actually rate it above Unseen Power.
What about the original Petra cover? The same.
No, I still prefer original Petra.
Okay, well, there you go. We've just found the place for it. So it comes in at number 11 on the album cover list.
Okay.
So interesting. God Fixation on a nice little start there.
It's a surprising start. Opening God Fixation. I think it's an interesting choice if I had to die for someone, because this song is definitely not an album opener in the vein of like some of Petra's classic albums, but it is following in the footsteps of certainly the previous album, and even No Doubt, where the opener doesn't exactly hit you in the face.
I think this this song really, right from the start, accentuates the change of sound.
Mm.
You hear right from the very beginning, you get that guitar feel, but it is, there's a higher tone this is what I was getting at before. There's a higher tone to the guitar. It's very clearly a little bit different. There's an acoustical sound in there. There's a bit of an organ feel. It's a very different feel. Right from the beginning, it's a different sound. And I think that I think they've used this song intentionally. Rather than do one of the more upbeat songs that perhaps would draw a stronger comparison to the style of music previously recorded, I think they've used this song intentionally to highlight this is a different sound, this is a different feel, and we want you to pay attention to that.
Yeah, it's one that I look at the opening lyrics to the song, and initially I have the sense of feeling a bit bland because they're talking about very mundane things, but it's actually quite a clever way of rolling gradually into the increasing stakes of the song that the song's talking about. And whoever sort of like took these lyrics and inserted them in an arrangement, have done a really, really good job at the phrasing, at the musical phrasing for this. Like, there's like the tempo of it and the rhythm of it is something that is kind of unique. Again, like, you can tell it's a different style of songwriting than we've been used to. So like, this is, that influence is coming in right from the start.
Yeah, and look, this is actually one of my favorite songs on the album. I really like the lyrics on this because it really like you said, it starts off almost with this element of safety, but it's turns to paint the picture of, I don't know if I could make the sacrifice that Christ made. I don't know if I could die for someone else because I want to protect my life. I want to be safe. I want to be comfortable. I don't know if I could take the risk and give my life up to save someone else. But that's exactly what Jesus did. And I really think that it paints a really good picture there, like you said. And then in the second verse, it carries it on. I want to be safe. I want to look up. I'll keep away from falling rocks. I don't play with matches. I lock the door. I don't know why. It's all this idea of I'm safe and I just like to be comfortable. But Christ didn't stay that way. You know, the Father sent him to earth with that mission, and that mission was to die for others. And you know, it reminds me. I think I've always liked this song because it reminds me. I was a big fan. Listeners out there may have heard. I know there's a Christian comedian who was around years ago by the name of Steve Geyer. And I don't know if any of you have ever, if any of our listeners have ever heard of him. And if you don't, that's okay. But part of one of his albums, he talks about the fact that he's talking about when his daughter was born, how he basically looked at it. He would not let his daughter get hurt for anyone. He wouldn't let, you know, if you said, if we just pinprick your daughter's finger, you know, tiny little drop of blood so that someone else didn't have to be hurt. He's like, nah, too bad. They can get hurt. They can die. I don't care because you're not hurting my daughter. And that's always stuck with me, especially as I became a dad and how much I love my boys, to just think I wouldn't let them get hurt for anyone. And I resonate with this song because it's like, I don't know that I couldn't give my life up, you know, to save someone else. It's a very hard thing to do, but Jesus did it willingly. It's just such an amazing contrast. And this song has always resonated with me for that reason.
Yeah, this is, it's in one regard, it's also, it's drawing a bit of a stronger line in terms of who the band is talking to. Like this song is very much a, I mean, I guess it's fairly open, you know, as a gospel song, and anyone could listen to it and be intrigued enough to understand more about Jesus. But I do think this song, yeah, particularly hits home for believers and is one of those songs that's a reminder. Just remember the gravity. Remember what Jesus did. Remember how much that means and what a big deal that is. Because, you know, it is the tendency we have as Christians. We take Christ for granted and we take his grace for granted, and we run the risk of holding it cheaply. And I like the song. From right off the bat, we know that this is a different Petra. And
it's also different because the musical interlude is not that spectacular. It's sort of a bit of an interlude, not so much that solo-esque style. And we'll get a couple of solos later, but it's very much a band presentation. Everyone's sort of got their bits. You know, the each of the guitars is quite clearly defined. The bass can be heard. The drums keep their nice time. The vocals are carrying their bit. It is very much a defined of each person doing their bit.
And I think it is drawing that line for new listeners coming in. Adjust your expectations coming in for this album. Like this is that good declaration. This might not be what you're expecting. So if you adjust your expectations accordingly, you might have a better time. And I think that's happened for me this time around listening to it because it was off to a very good start. Hello again. If the
are you starting the podcast off again already? We've already done a song. We've done our intro. What are you saying hello to everyone again for?
Well, it's interesting you put it that way, Dave, because there's almost an element to which this song has a wildly different feel from the first one, and it's not unheard of in sort of, you know, pop rock groups of this era, but it's yeah, this song veers a little bit towards an alternative kind of sound. Doesn't quite embrace that fully, but it's kind of an interesting indie rock feel a bit to Hello Again, which I find very interesting. Which, you know, I don't know if maybe like who kind of had the bulk of the duties in terms of you know, writing the music and the melodies for these songs.
This one was music for this one was Brian Wooten and John Elefante.
Oh my goodness. All right. So the interesting thing there is that this one, and there's another one on this album that that have shades of other Christian bands that I could name. So that actually goes a long way to explaining that.
And it sort of hands up because this song, there's quite strong guitars driving in the intro. Yeah, it's actually that you can hear both guitars very clearly, both Pete Order and Kevin Brand. I'm not sure who's playing what part to it, but you can clearly hear the two distinct guitars going. And then during the verse, they drop back, and one of the guitars has a very unique sound riff style going on. It really is, like you said, it's got a very indie feel to it. It's very different.
I mean, again, a song that's kind of targeted to the already Christian crowd.
The song of hope.
It is a song of hope. Although
that we're going to see our loved ones again. We're going to see our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in heaven.
Yeah. Although I find it interesting because the feel of the song, again, a topic that you would kind of assume would be paired quite well with a very grand or massively upbeat or high tempo, high energy kind of song is actually married to something that's, you know, that's in some way sounds a little melancholy. I won't say dirgy. That's a step too far, but I think it's an odd pairing of you know the musical sound to the theme of the lyrics.
It is. It does. You wouldn't expect it, but it's one of the things that stands out to me about this one. It is very. The lyrics are very fast paced, especially through the verse, very fast paced, to the point that there is a live recording of this song at a music festival. It's a professional recording. It's a very good recording, but in the middle of the lyrics to the verse, John Schlipp forgets the words. It's moving so quick. He can't get the words out, and he basically stumbles over a couple, and then Miller's song basically says, "Here we go again, John Schlipp forgetting the words to a song," and then he gets that.
That's just John Schlipp, though. Apparently, that's just his stock in trade.
And then the chorus is just such a distinct polar opposite. You've just got this very much the hello again line, and you've got that call response feel. Very simple.
Yeah, that
hello
that,
again. We're back the chorus together.
Chorus singing. Yeah.
Hello again. Yeah, we're here forever. You know, rejoined in heaven. Hello. Yeah. Just very simple, and then back into this really complex verse structure. So there's a real dichotomy there.
I totally agree with you. But
it creates a good feel because it's not a it's not overkill on any one feel, and it's something that I think it makes it stand out a little bit.
It does, and I do like this song. It's, you know, it's a really interesting one, and it's getting that thing. I like having quite different experiences. Is it what I come to Petra to listen to? Not really, but just taking it, you know, as it is, and again, sort of having a different sense of Petra not just as a band, but as a ministry, you know, I can certainly appreciate sort of what they're going for here. And even if, you know, experimenting with different sounds, and if that's part of what this album was just experimenting with some different sounds and seeing what might stick, coming out the other side of it. Well, following up,
We move on from there. I was going to say, we move on from there to a song that has a little bit more of a traditional Petra feel to it.
Yeah, we're kicking the tempo up a little bit now. You know, we're giving Louis a chance to do something fun with this song, A Matter of Time.
I really like the intro to this song. I like that feel, like you've got that bass and drum almost like in the distance. It feels like it's got it. They're off in the distance playing their theater, and they play a little bit of an intro line, and then you get that power guitar come in and play a very good lift. And it's interesting to note that this is Brian Wooten has a hand in the music to this song, but so does Bob. Bob actually has had a little bit of a hand on the music side of this song. And I wonder if that sort of picked up in the feel of that intro and that feel, because when it comes in, it does have that. It sounds like Petra, the typical Petra that you used to.
Yeah, and I agree. There's, you know, this song is connected very strongly, I think, stylistically, to No Doubt as an album. Like this is a very strong tie to that. So I think you're right. I think Bob actually probably would have had a reasonably strong influence on how this song was put together musically. Mm. This is interesting, sort of seeing, like, you know, the slight shift in perspective lyrically for this song. It is a song that, you know, is a message that's worth hearing as a Christian, as someone who is already a believer, but it is starting to tip into that territory of the crossover songs, where the message is just as poignant to someone who might be hearing it cold, might be like coming in, might not even know that Petra are a Christian band. And hear this song for the first time, it's going to be a question that they'll recognize and they'll appreciate, because stuff that, you know, everybody's got to deal with. It's that thing of like, yeah, have you thought about, you know, what's coming ahead? You know, we do not live forever here. Do you know what's going to be happening to you? And then, yeah, just sowing that seed of like, there is more to be thinking about. And I think this song's very good.
Yeah, no, I really enjoy it. And it's got a really solid guitar interlude in the back end. Not, again, maybe not a full solo, but you know, some real prominence there. It's driving, it's rocky. It's a real solid song.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, that's a good, I think that's as good a description as anything to say. Solid. Yeah. So we roll on from that one into Failing Up.
Falling Up.
Falling Up. Falling. Ah, man, I keep doing that. It's Falling Up. I know it's Falling Up. I keep miswriting it everywhere I go in my notes.
It's okay. You can fall up then and you can fall up now.
That's right. So this song as well probably is also what puts me in mind of the Goo Goo Dolls and that ilk. That very radio friendly mid to late 90s soft rock kind of feel to it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it is definitely different. It's got a very different feel to it. it's worth noting that Pete Order, this is the first sort of music that Pete Order has had a hand in developing, creating. It's music by Pete Order. So that's probably his feel. Maybe maybe this is what the style that he's bringing in to the band and what he likes. It's it's very interesting. You can hear a little bit of keys underneath it. But yeah, everyone's got their own little bit to play and they keep that feel going. You keep referring to the Goo Goo Dolls. It does have a sort of a little bit of that sort of sense to it.
I could expand that. Like, Goo Goo Dolls are my go-to for that era. I could be talking about Train just as much, but the difference is that I can tolerate the Goo Goo Dolls. I can't stand Train and so many of their ilk. So, I'm trying to make the most favorable comparison that I can when I talk about it.
Yeah, and it's an interesting song in that it's not, it's got the speed of the way the lyrics come out. It's almost a little bit of a mellow feel to it, but it's not a mellow song. It's a little bit backed off, but it's not as backed off. It's a bit of a mid-range, mid-tempo.
Yeah, I mean it's written in the style of those love songs of that era, and it's obviously playing on that imagery of instead of talking about falling in love, we're falling into the arms of Jesus. And again, the more profound, which is I actually really love this, the conceit of this song. Rather than this speaking of this, irresistible force that causes us to lose ourselves when we fall in love. It's talking about just the very reality of we are ridiculous and we keep making mistakes. God's expectation is that stops, but simply that we find a better direction to fall.
I love how you've just worded that. That's I like that, the direction to fall, because yeah. I love the concept of this idea of we fall up.
Yeah.
We fall, the line, I fell up into the arms of love is just such a powerful line when I heard him call. I just love that line. And, it's got the idea, we're not falling down, we're not falling over. You talk about falling head over heels in love. And I guess it's that counter. I think the lyrics that Bob's putting out here are the counter to the idea of falling head over heels. So it does. I like the way you described it there. It's a bit of a love song sort of feel. It's that love song to God. I've fallen up into his arms and he's carrying me and he's holding me and I'm there with him and I'm never going to forget it. And, after everything that I've been through in life, I'm with him now.
Yeah. Absolutely. And this, again, it's a song that works both sides of the room, establishing to people, like, if you've not met Jesus, it's this simple to come to him, and you don't need to fix yourself, forget any thought of that. But it's also the comfort to the believer for however long they've been journeying with Jesus, that God anticipates and expects our failures even as his sons and daughters, and our lives are this continual process of falling into his arms. This is why I keep mixing up the title of the song. I keep thinking of it as Failing Up. Again, sort of standing back from that objective point, it's a song that I think has got a lot a lot of good to it. It might be my favorite song lyrically, speaking of this album.
It's very good.
But you're very much in that zone of like, okay, this is really not, because it's not even like the ballads that Petra has Bob has tended to write in the past. We're still really, really.
It's almost like you get a feel that the band was experimenting with their sound, and it gave Bob the chance to experiment with some of his lyrics in maybe some different ways that he hadn't tried to do.
That's a fair. I hadn't thought of that. So yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe one thing about this song, I just want to note before we move on, it's the first song on the album that probably has a real guitar solo in it. It's not a very long one, but it's the first time that we get that, you know, very clear, defined guitar solo feel in the coda, just before the coda. So, well, after the coda, sorry.
All right. Well, after we've found ourselves falling up, that then puts us over the horizon, Dave.
It does. It's one of those songs where they bring everyone in. So it's very typical of a lot of songs we've heard at the back end of a side A for Petra. You come out of that different feel, that maybe slightly, like we talked about, not quite a mellow song, but it's certainly the mellow song of the side. But you get that impact of all the band members are in. It's not super driving, but they're all in on that intro, and then it backs off a little bit to acoustic and drums in the verse, and then they build in. So you're getting that sort of up and down feel, like, you know, a bit of a hit in the face. We'll back off a little bit while we bring the lyrics in. Then we're going to hit you a bit more in the chorus.
Do you wonder, Dave? Like looking at this song, almost seems like it could function as kind of the prayer or the cry of the band in this season. You know, this idea of the uncertainty of what you're stepping into in a time that seems dark and unfamiliar, but the reminder that it's a, you know, that Jesus is all about hope. And you know, our call is to be faithful to him as he's leading. It seems a poignant song given given where the band
is. The journey that the band's been on, it does very much seem to fit the journey of the band as well. It could, you know, it might not be where it initially might not have been in the thoughts when they were putting it together, but you can make that comparison, that I can see that thought, that it does very much fit the position the band's in, the journey they're on as a band, and then the journey that we're on as children of God, you know, that we need to continue just holding fast to him. And to me, this is where we'll touch on it. We haven't really touched on the theme through the album, but I mean the concept, God fixation, and we're going to get, that's the next song, but even as an album title, like this idea of keeping your eyes fixed on God, this is sort of, we've sort of seen, this is the journey that's starting to develop. We talk about, you know, God has done this for us, and we're going to be with him, and we're going to see people again in heaven. But then we really start this journey of keeping your eyes sort of fixed on God and everything that's going on, you know, matter of time. It's about keeping your eyes, you know, fixed on God for the end of the journey, falling up. It's about being fixed on God and the love that he brings us. And then over the horizon, it's about being fixed on God, that he's there with us and he's walking that journey, and we can keep trusting him. So we're really starting to get this theme starting to crop up of having our eyes firmly fixed on our Creator and keeping him in our line of vision.
Yeah, I think you're right there, and I think that then sort of is stepped up to the next level. And, you know, as you turn the side over and we come to the title track, God Fixation. And this is just a straight up, we are going to explain to you what a man or woman of God looks like. What someone who, what a disciple of Jesus looks like. That's all this song is, you know, built straight out of the bones of Psalm 112.
Yeah, it's a character. It's the character of a Christian man or woman. This is the sort of person it should be. There's something about this song that really, again, resonates with me. I really love that for once in all the, almost for the first time, I'm having trouble thinking of any other time it's happened, we get a bass lead into a song. The bass takes the lead into this song. And Lonnie Chapin, he nails it. This is a really good showpiece song for him, this song. And it's, you know, it creates a good atmosphere and a good feel as we move into it. It's probably the rockiest song, the hardest song we've had on the whole album so far. And it actually likens something you were saying earlier about likening it to some of John Schlitt's solo stuff. This song sounds very much like a lot of stuff you hear on John Schlitt's Unfit for Swine album.
Yeah, I can see that. Or hear that. Yeah, that's a yeah, I don't know. It's what I will say is this. It's kind of true of a lot of the songs on this album, but it is particularly evident here. I find that for a title track of a song, this is a little unremarkable. Just it doesn't grab me and carry me along, and I find it hard to kind of hold the melody of it in my head when I'm not listening to it. Part of what is going on with a lot of this stuff is the songs just kind of don't distinguish themselves from
that. They start to sound
not just from within this album, but from other groups of this era. And, you know, that's possibly a big part of what, you know, they ultimately had to wrestle through in this whole sort of third act of the band's career.
Yeah, it does. I will agree that bit by bit, each song is starting to sound, there's a similar sound creeping through each song. There's not a lot of differentiation between the sound that you get in each song. You might get a little bit of a different feel. You know, some are rockier, some are, but the actual sound of the music that's coming out is very similar in every song.
Yeah. So what do you think of Set for Life?
This is another driving start. And I made a note here, the pace of the album feels like it might be starting to pick up a little bit. Unfortunately it doesn't continue on, but, yeah, this is got some really cool guitar and keyboard bits throughout this song. It continues to sort of build, everyone bringing their elements and their parts to it. But you know, Set for Life, you'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. It's another thing about recognizing where the journey's taking us and what's in store for us. You know, you don't have to worry, because, you know, things are going to sort out. We're on the right path. We're on the right journey. It's another thing. Just keep your eyes set on him.
Yeah. I find fascinating about this song, the lyrics to this. It's partly a story song. like it is telling the story of a character. But typically the way that these ones go, you paint the picture of this man who's got it made, and then the story is supposed to go, you establish how good he has it in this life, how cruisy he thinks everything is, and then a disaster strikes and he hits rock bottom. And then a new character enters the song who explains Christ to him, and it turns his whole life around and he chooses a new direction. This song kind of skips over that whole middle ground, and it's just, yeah, this guy's got it made, but then he heard about Christ and he decided to run with what really matters. It's like, oh gosh, wow, we're just there. This is just a guy who clearly showed some genuine wisdom in this moment, which
but there I think ties into the evangelical hopes, the messages they're coming out. It's about, you know, once you find Christ, that you are set for life. You don't need to worry about anything else. You've got it made now. You're on the right path. You're on that journey. No matter what comes your way, you're on the journey. You're on the path. And you just need to stick to it after that.
Yeah. Is there any musically anything from of Set for Life that...
One of the things that does stand out, this has probably the strongest guitar solo we've heard. It's actually to the point where it's almost a double guitar solo. You can actually hear both of the guitars distinctly, both Kevin Brando and Pete Auder distinctly playing that musical solo section and different parts of it. So I think that really stood out to me. And then ironically at the end, we come back, the keys come back under at the end, and it almost feels, this song probably more than any other song on the album, feels like the Petra we've grown up with.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the closest we've got to what Petra have done over the years. But as I said, it doesn't continue on, because in the next song we get a very distinct change of feel.
Yep. So Magnet of the World, which interestingly though, you know, this is, at least if I've got this right, you can tell me if I got there. This is a return to Bob again. He's
We've got the classic working
Bob
here
and John, right?
Of Bob and John Elefante. So yeah, they've been working together since This Means War, and they've actually been working together since Back to the Street, but we've seen a lot of the musical collaboration since This Means War. And so we've got it here again. So very much that old school collaboration.
So yeah. So, and this is the acknowledgement of you know, the appeals of the world, almost an Angel of Light kind of a song here. You know, there's the appeals of the world here, but you know, this is the call to, well, it's the prayer to God to help us to sort of remain steadfast in the face of temptation.
Yeah, I like that you've made the comparison to Angel of Light. It does, lyrically, it's almost a little bit of a companion piece. Angel of Light, if we go back all the way back to Never Say Die, and Angel of Light, it's the nailing of, this is what the enemy is trying to do. This is flipping that concept around of, I'm recognizing that the world is trying to pull me away from my Father in heaven. You know, Lord, keep me close to you. I want to stick with you. I don't want to lose that. I don't want to get drawn to you. So again, it's that idea of keeping yourself fixed on Christ, keeping your eyes set on him, so that you're not turning and looking at what's around you. So yeah. The song's got a very acoustic feel to it. They're bringing a lot. The acoustic really carries this song, which is a little bit different. We don't hear outside of some of the stuff we heard on in in a bit of the Petra praise. Two, we haven't heard a lot of acoustic guitar feels through many Petra songs. Even the mellow songs tend to not be heavily acoustic, acousticized.
Acoustic stuff like tends to be very, very early in the band's, in the band's history. And even then, it's certainly not common.
But again, a bit of a contrast, a bit of a different feel, something different. But it does it. And then again, at the back end of the song, they hit the coda, they pick up the pace a little bit, and then you get a bit of keyboard driving towards the end, and as they move out of the song, you get some keyboard feel in there. So it's a good song. And again, it's another, solid song.
Well, you'd expect nothing less from when
yeah,
Bob's fully in on that one. Although I guess it is this interesting thing about, Bob was collaborating on the music for this one, but he's not the one who ends up coming on to record it. And what kind of stuff gets lost in translation there? It's just a question that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
I guess ultimately you have the same question about the next one, Shadow of a Doubt, because this is Bob and John Elefante again. And carrying on this, this album very much is almost a concept album. And you see Petra do this a lot, but it is very much this, a progression of addressing the state of mind that you go through in various stages of your walk with God. And this is the song of genuine wrestling with doubt, like not beyond just the, I'm facing a difficult time and I don't know what's happening. This is the, I'm not sure whether I can do this. I don't know whether you're real, God. And I think songs like this are important, because I certainly know growing up, one of the unhelpful things that I kind of got was this idea that to be a Christian, but to wrestle with doubt was a sign of poor character or a lack of faith, which, that's a terrible thing to suggest to people. It's important for us to be real with it and bring it out into the open so that we can actually work through what we're doing. So I just on the principle of what he's writing about here, I really appreciate the existence of this song.
Yeah, this is I think the lyrics are quite powerful here. The faith and trust that God to always be there, like you said, working through the doubts and the troubles of life and the things that come into our head, but even taking it beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'll find you waiting there. Again, we can have that faith and trust that is there, but like you said, behind the wall of my own reason, I discover how you care. So it's really trying to break down those doubts and those struggles that we work through and see that as we continue to focus on God, he won't ignore our prayer. He's waiting for us and he's always there. So yeah, it is very much sort of a bit of a push to break through. You're struggling with this, but keep going. You can break through this. That's what a breakthrough is. You're working to break through whatever's holding you up or whatever barrier is there. And this song really puts it very well, very lyrically. I think there's some really strong, powerful lyrics in this album because Bob's been able to focus on that. I think this song is a good example of that.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that perspective. Well, we're stepping into the final, the closing section of the album now. St. Augustine's Pears as the penultimate song on the album. And I'm looking, Dave. So what is, have you got your album cover there?
I do.
Because I don't have, like, the stuff that I've got doesn't have the people's responsible for this song.
Well, it's words and music by Bob Hartman.
Okay, there we go.
So, and it's one of those, I've got the question, do you know anything about the background, the concept of this song, St. Augustine's Prayer, Pears? Do you know, like, I mean, the album cover, you know, paints a little bit of a story. It says that St. Augustine was a 4th century bishop who, in his classic The Confessions of St. Augustine, recounted an incident in his youth where he stole some pears from an orchard. He was haunted his whole life because he realized the only reason he stole the pears was because it was wrong. Had you ever heard that story before, or any? I never heard anything outside of this song. I'd never heard anything about that before. Had that ever come across
I've not read Confessions. I'm aware of the figure of St. Augustine in church history, but I can imagine that he would have had a lot of fun wrestling with that one for his writings.
But I like the way this song's written, because it turns it. We're not singing about St. Augustine. We're not, you know, St. Augustine went and did this, or and he went and did that. It's very much that we've got a story, another one of our story concept songs, but it's in that first person. I'm making choices. I heard this. One dare led to another dare, and I started. I'm doing these things, and I know it's wrong, and I know it shouldn't be, and now I've got to live with. I've got to live with the guilt in my head of what I've done wrong, even though I know that, you know, even though I know, like, there's a better way. Christ is, you know, God has forgiven me. There's a better way, but I know it's wrong. It very much ties into that, the passage where Paul talks about, I do what I don't want to do.
Yep.
And I don't do what I should do.
I was thinking the exact same thing. And I don't even like pears.
Yeah, sorry.
And I don't even like pears that well. you know, yes.
I threw it away. When I nicked it, and then I threw it away.
Exactly. It is. And it is that, I think this song is actually all the more powerful. Like, this is a song you go through. It actually, you know, we don't actually reference God, or they don't actually reference Christ. They are purely within the head of this individual, but it does become a powerful tool in encouraging the believer to consider, you know, our own response to our own sinfulness and
our response to what Christ has, what God has done for us.
Hmm.
You know, yeah. Should I go on sinning because of grace? No. You know, this is, you know, we've got this journey that we've talked about. And I think this is a good companion piece to Magnet of the World, because this is almost the dangers. The world's trying to entice me. And this song is, well, this is what happens when I succumb to that, when I don't keep my eyes fixed on God. If I choose to allow myself to succumb to the temptation of the world, to what I know is not right, it's not just that I know I've done the wrong thing, but then I've got to live with the guilt that's in my head that's done it. Now, look, I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm gonna share. I don't know if I've told you this story, Lindsay. I don't know, but I mean, I'm gonna put it out there to the world. I remember, I still live with this day. I remember when I was in high school. I remember distinctly. Now, I was a Christian. I'd given my life to the Lord, but I was in a shop one day, and I really wanted something. I didn't have the money for it, and I found a way to get it out of the shop in my school bag. And I, the moment I'd done it, regretted it. And, you know, I live with that. I still live with that day. I know I did the wrong thing. And the, ironically, in almost a similar vein to the way this song talks about, you know, I stole the pear and then I threw it away. I end up doing the exact same thing. What I took, I end up throwing away, not not instantly, but you know, I didn't hang on to it for very long. It was, you know, it's this song resonates with my spirit because I did the exact same thing as a young Christian, and I regretted it. I hated that I ever did that. I had to work through that. Had to work through the impact that that's had on my life. And I guess that's one of the reasons why, as I'm helping my boys grow up and helping my boys become young men following Christ, that I highlight to them so much that it's the choices they make, that the things that they say they believe and the things that they do, they've got to make sure they're living it out, because that's it's our integrity, our walk with God. That's who we are, and that's just such a vital piece of who we are. And I think that's, unfortunately, I did that, but I think it significantly shaped how I approach my Christian faith today.
Hmm. Thanks for sharing that, man. You haven't told me that story before. Hmm. I was the same as a kid, and you know, almost an identical story that I had. Difference in my case, I got busted. But you know, then I had to deal with Dad, and that wasn't fun. It becomes that whole thing. But you know, the poignant thing, because then Dad, you know, in that moment, he sat me down and he asked that question, why? You know, why? That just blankness of, I've got nothing better for you than I wanted it. But you know, sort of the sense of wrestling with the shame, and you know, like that's not coming from Dad. That's coming from something far deeper. But yeah, you know, I think it is very true that certainly in my circles, Christians, we're very quick to embrace the reality of grace. But we don't really want to think about the wrestle, the struggle against the flesh. There we go. So confession time, ladies and gentlemen. I won't encourage you all to make your own confessions in our Facebook and pages or anything like that. That's probably
if you want to share,
then you know, this could be just a wonderful purging moment that brings all of us closer together, and steps us up in our walk with God. But for right now, we're gonna bring this album to a close, Dave. The Invitation. This is lyrics again, but we've got a collaboration with Brian Wooten again. He's doing a lot for the band around this time.
He's been involved in a few. I think that's three songs on this album that he's been involved in, or three or four that he's been involved in musically. Kevin Brando is involved here. John Elefonte again. Look, I liken this. I see this song in a very similar vein. And just bear with me. Let me finish the train of thought before you jump on me and say, no, it's not. But I see this song in a very similar vein to All the King's Horses at the end of This Means War. It's got a bit of an impact hit. It's not hard rock the way All the King's Horses was. But I think where the journey that you've come from, the music field they've gone, this song certainly hits in your face very quick. Two guitars playing, they get a bit of a driving pace to it, and then we move into, you know, sort of what I feel is a real good sort of, we've got that impact again of here's the story. The king is calling to us. The king wants to throw the party. The king wants us all there. You just need to respond to it. Very much that parable of the
wedding feast.
Yeah, parable of wedding feast. But it's you know, puts a song in a way like it's that reach out, it's that call. God wants us in the feast in heaven. He's calling to us. He's reaching out to us. And you know, like I said, it's not as hard hitting as all the King's Horses, but I feel the journey of the album where they hit at this point, it has a very similar, I feel it's a very similar approach in why they've placed this song at this point of the album and what they're trying to put across here at the end. It's got very much that you're invited, you can answer the call, you can come here and receive and respond to the invitation.
I think you're right. It's an altar call song. And, you know, yeah, and I don't think that that's an accident of placing it here in the end. It also happens to be one of the songs that I think is does stand out a bit from this album, interestingly. There's something about this that is memorable and stays in you. Part of it is there's a simplicity that's easy to remember. But also, I mean, it's that, you know, obviously, yeah, like you said, playing off, you know, beginning with the imagery, almost a recounting of the parable of the wedding feast. And then, but then just rolling that into, you know, the reality of the gospel, you know, and looking forward. So, and, you know, someone has come and listened to this album and has kind of gone through the journey of what it is to come to know Christ and to see your life transformed and then approach life with a new mind or with a new perspective, the realities of God. And you're either listening to this as a Christian and going, these are good things to be reminded of. These are good challenges for me to stay faithful to. And the invitation here at the end is to, you know, stay the course, you know, remain committed, choose daily to take up your cross. And for the person who's not a believer, they go through all of that and go, this is what your life could be. This is what the reality of it is. And it's the invitation. Do you want to come and start your journey with this man? You want to start your journey with Jesus. And I really love that. It's part of the thing that I think this time around I really appreciated about listening to God Fixation, that even in sort of that those sections where the songs don't really, you know, jive for me, you know, as individual songs so much, still there's this journey of the album that I'm really appreciating thematically and lyrically. And that's what I'm drawn to more in God Fixation, even where the music is something that I'm not so interested in listening to.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying at the beginning is the writing and the lyrics in this song really probably drive the album more than the music does. You know, it really carries that along. Interesting about this last one, you talked about how you feel it's probably one of the better songs on the album. I made a note when I was listening to it. I really feel this song could have been an all-timer. If I've got my ifs here, I think that the lyrics of this song, the theme of this song and actually the structure of this song, it could have made an all-time if probably had a little bit more driving feel to it, perhaps been a little bit more electric guitar led. And then at the end of the song, you could have had thrown in a little bit of what we haven't had throughout the whole album, which is some of those, you know, those Bob Hartman outro solos that you hear at the end of a song with maybe some John Schlitt impro underneath. I think if it had a little bit of that, this we'd be talking about this song up in the realms of one of the best ever songs they ever did. That's how highly I rate what was put together, because it wouldn't have taken much for it to really launch it to the next stratosphere.
You might be onto something there. That's kind of if you were writing.
If I was the producer,
but
I'm not. I'm not, and again, it's probably not the feel like we talked about. They were going for a certain feel, and this is obviously a little bit different. So we come to the end of the journey. I guess therein lies the question. We're talking about this song, and like I said, it could have been an all timer, but I don't feel it's got enough to break into our top list. When I look at some of these songs in our top list, I don't feel that it's got enough. Do any of the songs on this album, do you feel when we look at, you know, when I mention the songs that are at the bottom end of our playlist at the moment, you know, and those songs are things like Sight Unseen, Armed and Dangerous, This Means War, Midnight Oil, you know, we're talking about some pretty all-time power songs there.
Yeah.
Do any of the songs on this album, and it's not they're not power. This is not hard rock.
No, no.
But do any of the songs on this album warrant consideration for the list, do you think?
See, not as far as I'm concerned. And part of what's going on there, like everything that we've kind of thought about for our there's been for the most part, like you say the title of the song and everyone immediately will link to that song. Like they're iconic, recognizable Petra songs. There's something that stands out. And the handful, the one or two that have kind of been in there that people might not immediately recognize, I think when you listen to the song itself, there's just clearly something that is objectively of a really high standard of craftsmanship in writing those songs. And I just don't have that sense with anything on this album. There's nothing iconic about the songs. And I don't think, like, it's hard because these sound like huge criticisms. And I think the reality is not only, you know, you're entering into a new era of this band. So it's new people learning how to work together and make music together. But it's also a new bunch of people coming into the collaborative process of the songwriting. Mm. And that can't just be an automatic, easy, we can just get together and instantly write Grammy award-winning songs in 5 minutes. There's got to be give and take in getting used to each other and how that works. So, you know, the album is fascinating as a study in transitions and in experimentation for a band. But I guess the thing is, so, you know, there's another very prominent contemporary Christian band around this time who also went through quite a huge transition and decided to change direction and embrace a new sound. So it was happening, but this is just sort of an example of an occasion where didn't quite come together in a way that people really wanted to get on board with.
Yeah, nothing pushed to the top. Now, there is one song we have to put under consideration here, because one song on the album, Over the Horizon, Bob had no involvement in the writing of that. The words of that were actually written by Kevin Brando's wife, Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So we need to throw that into our non-Bob playlist. Over the Horizon. When I look at this, there's, you know, if we are looking at a song like maybe like Song of Moses or Magic Words, how do you, you know, where do you rank Over the Horizon compared to those sorts of songs?
No, I don't think I'd be putting it in above either of those.
What about Without You, I Would Surely Die?
That might be a safer, yeah. I can see it going in there.
All right, so that brings it in number 19 on the non-Bob Hartman Petra song playlist. But let's take it through. We've talked about this album and we've talked about, you know, the new style and new feel. But I think one of the things that I want to point out about this album as a whole is I don't feel, while, you know, we've got a very stylistic change. And this is what we were talking about at the beginning. For some people, that stylistic change was too much. And they didn't, you know, it's not our hard rock. It's not the Petra that we've grown up with. And so that's why I think some people struggle with it. And other people listen to it and go, it's a different feel, but I can get on board. I like it. And then you've got the power of what we talked about. There are a lot of songs on here that are very strong lyrically, very solid. I don't feel there are any lows. There's nothing that really bottoms out. There's nothing that you sit there and go, my goodness, that is an absolute stinker. I never want to listen to that song again. So it might not have the high. We just sort of said there's nothing, no song that really hits the super highs, but there's no song that really hits, there's nothing that really hits the super lows either. It's a very, it's consistent. From beginning to end, it's a very consistent album.
It is. I will definitely say that in its favor.
So where does it sit then?
Okay.
Where does this consistency push it in comparison to everything else? We go back. We've just listened to. We sort of had some pretty heavy criticisms of the No Doubt album. Where does God Fixation sit compared to No Doubt for you?
So I'm gonna it's the reality, like honestly, there's a part of me that wants to take it aside and hold it as an isolated thing from the rest of the discography. And the possible justification you could have would be Bob's lack of involvement in the recording, and a lesser involvement than usual in the songwriting, because my first instinct honestly is to be like, look, God Fixation still ranks at the bottom of the list for me personally. What's kind of changed in my attitude is in the past, I kind of would have been like, yeah, God Fixation is pretty bad. It would have been a thing of like penalizing all the, you know, this thing that I don't like about it or the failures that I perceive. Whereas this time around, it's like, look, it still ranks at the bottom there. But that's more just a reflection of it being too far removed from what I want to hear when I come to hear a Petra album. And I'm game for a measure of experimentation. And as we know, like I've been on the journey through changes in style at other points, but this was one that it didn't come together as something that I really dug. I wasn't into this genre of music at that time, and I'm still not. It doesn't cause me to shut the radio off in disgust, but I wouldn't choose to listen to it either. No Doubt is still tapping into genre that I want to listen to. And there are individual songs on No Doubt that means something to me, and really lift it up. So it's more of a saying I would put God Fixation at the bottom of the list
because are you saying the very bottom of the list?
Yeah, the very bottom because there's no other place to put it. But it's not so much about penalizing it for things that it does wrong. It's just. I mean that's where
style,
I see.
The style change is just a bit style too much. Change is
just something that it doesn't come together.
Well, let's have this conversation then, because at the bottom of the list at the moment is Beat the System, and there was the style change that we struggled with as well. What was being put out with the heavily you know, computerized sound and you know, we didn't have Mark and we didn't have Louis actually playing. They were a lot of programming and stuff like that. And it had some very strong songs, but it also had that bottom end, that heavy imbalance was there. How do you rate, does God Fixation, do you sit there and go, the style of music, it just doesn't match even to Beat the System? Because Beat the System was a pretty significant heavy style shift, and we had that conversation.
But as we talked about at the time, one of the differences is like the songs from Beat the System, become iconic songs. The ones that hit well hit big, and all it takes is sort of refitting those songs for a live audience, and they become absolute showstoppers. And you hear that in Captured in Time and Space. So Beat the System has this brilliant work and these huge catchy moments and these songs that are really, really memorable.
And I guess
God Fixation doesn't.
And I guess an interesting thing to tie in there is when you think about the songs that when Petra do still perform today, in recent years, when Bob and John have got together and have done a concert here or there, and even in the farewell tour and all of that, there is not one song from God Fixation that was a part of the set list. Yeah. And I'd find it very interesting. I really would have loved to have heard what the album might have sounded like if Bob had, if we had that sound and style of Petra that we do love. And I hear where you're coming from. I think I agree. I think the difference between Beat the System and God Fixation is Beat the System does have those all-time songs. Mm. It is finished at Oni, songs that are just, they're up there as like, some of the best, they're at the top of our playlist, and yet, songs at the top of the playlist, and yet the album is at the bottom of the album list because it's just so different. And yet this album, you've got that different feel, that different style, but you don't have any of the songs that take it, that can carry it to the next level. I think that's the difference there between those two albums. And like you said, No Doubt probably keeps the style, the style of sound that is still pretty prevalent, but God Fixation is missing it. So there it is, everyone. God Fixation, and I think we need to preface. We need to not preface it. We've said it all, but we need to remind everyone that we're still talking about an album that's better than a lot of other stuff that's out there. I mean, it is a Petra album. It is, just because it's at the bottom of this list does not make it a bad album in say, because we've talked about some really strong stuff about this album. There is a consistency. There is some very strong lyric writing and some songs in there that do have some strong meaning and some solid messages in them. But just struggling to get away from the stylistic changes is just a bit much.
And that's, that's just a reality you face. But look, I mean, around this, well, actually, no, it's not around this era. White Heart, tried something similar at one point with Inside. And it's the same kind of thing. It's an album that there were some stylistic differences there that I just don't think came together. But there's still good stuff there, and it's still a White Heart album. DC Talk did Supernatural. That was a weird misfire of an album, but it's still got good stuff about it. It's still DC Talk. No one's getting dragged through the mud over any of this stuff. And when we talk about Petra, and you've got a bottom of the rung of Petra, but really in the end, that just what we really end up wanting to focus on is just how high the heights are when you come to the great stuff this band puts out. And that's going to be really, really highlighted next time when we start talking about a very interesting experiment that Petra attempted in its follow-up to this particular album.
Yeah, I think our next album is going to be a very interesting conversation. When you talk about albums that are divisive, our next podcast is going to possibly, I think it'll be very interesting to see the feedback we get or the comments we get of people, maybe even in advance of our next podcast, because Double Take will be one that it has a very poor reputation, and it'll be very interesting to see how it sits and how it stands up. I think there'll be some very interesting conversations next time.
I absolutely agree. But look, until then, as always, we love to hear from you guys. So give us your feedback, give us your reactions on our discussion about God Fixation, share memories that you've had about this album, or whether you got to see Petra around this era of time. You can reach us and find us on Facebook, or if you'd like to reach us more directly, you can send an email to wemeanrock@gmail.com. Dave, it's been a pleasure revisiting this one with you, and I'm glad to say that despite its low ranking, I ultimately have come out with a greater appreciation for what God Fixation is as an album. I'm not just thinking about what it's not. And, that's probably a good thing to be able to get to. So Absolutely. Thanks for talking it through.
Absolutely. Nah, it's been good. I've enjoyed this one. I've enjoyed going reminiscing this album, and we look forward to everyone joining us again. Next time we come to you with a bit of Double Action, Double Take, and a bit of Double Action. We'll keep that one under wraps for the moment, but there might be a bit of Double Action going on. What are you talking about, Double Action? Let's wait and see.
Yeah, we'll leave you to puzzle that one out, guys. But until then, thank you for pressing play on Rock. I'm Lindsay Hall.
And I'm Dave Hall.
And we'll catch you, Petraheads, next time.
Tribe and tongue, all those with ears to hear.